Well, this week at the Supreme Court is one that's going to have a lasting impact on the rights and freedoms of millions of Americans. And we thought it was a good time to take a moment to reflect on the health both of our democracy and struggles we see elsewhere in the world, from Turkey and Bulgaria to Brazil, and maybe even what lies ahead in Cairo this week in Egypt. The language and the time zones change, but the voice of the protest is increasingly the same. Listen. Is this what democracy sounds like? Is this the sound of democracy in action? Or is it something far deeper, a response to a form of capitalism that's identified with the rule of unaccountable elites or a lack of accountability and aggressive policing? Well, Professor Alfred Stepin is the founding director of the Center for the Study of Democracy, Toleration, and Religion at Columbia University, and he joins me now.
Hello.
Well, thanks for coming in to join us, because this is a difficult time to understand in a place like Brazil. And let's start in Brazil, where we've seen a couple of weeks of protests now. On the surface, people protesting what they see as government corruption and a misuse of resources. They've got the Olympics and the World Cup coming, but I suspect it's about something maybe deeper than that. Where is this headed?
I think in Brazil, if it goes well, there's a chance that it's a protest against the huge corruption. It's a protest against the lack of social services. But in this case, the president has said, I hear you. I will try and make some changes. So she's been close to the group, and I would say 90% of the people demanding this want a deepening of a democracy, not an overthrow of democracy.
And she's very popular, so that's why you think this might be an actual democracy. You call it a democracy deepening event.
It could be a democracy deepening event, and I think it will be. She has, at the start of this, and 3 days into it, she still had 73% approval rating as president, and her government had a 65% approval rating. Most democracies in the world would die for those numbers.
Now, what exactly does democracy deepening mean by your definition? Does that mean that the will of the people is reflected? The people get upset. They take to the streets. Change is made. Is it as simple as that?
No, not. Because people could be demanding something that's not necessarily democratic, or they may have so many demands. But in this case, if she responds and recognizes that the corruption's been terrible, and if she does something as an executive about this, and the next presidential election, which will be next year, is run on the issue of fighting corruption, it could end up in democratic deepening.
Now, of course, we're talking about Dilma Rousseff, who's the president of Brazil, yes, as you mentioned, with a 73% approval rating, go across the ocean and to the northern hemisphere to Turkey, where Prime Minister Erdogan is confronting what seems to be a pretty different situation. Now, on the face of it, people were upset over the reapportioning of a park and what they saw as sort of oppressive, anti-democratic government action. But it seems like a far different situation there.
You're absolutely right, Todd. It's far different. In the one sense, Erdogan has been prime minister for 11 years. He's won three free and fair elections. So at that level, it's a democracy. On the other hand, he's an immensely polarizing person. About 50% of the people can't stand him because they're secularists and they're terrified he's going to take them in the direction of Iran. He is much more polarizing than President Dilma in Brazil. And the opposition is more polarizing, in my judgment, because worse comes to worse. If Erdogan pushes further with the coercion and tries to use the military, I think the military could revolt against him and we'd be back. This is a country that had military coups in 1950, 1960, 1971, 1981. The current constitution was drafted by the military. So the polarization there is dangerous.
We're on a survey now. And before we move to the Middle East, which I want to do because this is fascinating, take a second to look at ourselves here, because it's inevitable we have to compare our own democracy, which we're very proud of, with these younger democracies in Turkey and in Brazil of their various levels of deepening. We're in a polarized moment now in America, and yet despite rhetoric, nobody's really afraid that we're headed for a terribly anti-democratic moment or a moment when the democracy would be undermined by protests. We had Tea Party protests in 2010, which in a way seem to be democratically deepening. More people are being heard. Now, Congress is polarized, but you can hear me. I'm trying to digest where we are on the spectrum of democratic deepening that you're talking about here.
Well, then we can talk about Occupy Wall Street, too. These are big movements. I think that the reason why the polarization is less democratically dangerous is because people aren't thinking of non-constitutional outcomes, or they're not thinking of how they can change the Constitution. And what we have to realize is that Turkey's constitution is one of the easiest in the world to change. It just takes one vote by 66% of the people in the parliament, and that's there, and they've close to having 66% of the seats.
Easy
the United
enough.
States one is the hardest constitution in any democracy to change. It takes the Senate, it takes the lower house, it takes the president, and it takes two-thirds of the state by two-thirds majority. The ranking of it, it's the hardest. So we're not facing any non-democratic constitutional change. That's off the agenda. And what we are, I personally have recently done a study of the 22 long-standing democracies. On three of the most important indicators, every single one of them, the United States has the highest ratio of inequality. So I think we should have more demands for transparency, better equality, and it's amazing that people haven't really pushed hard for this. So I'm for democratic deepening, even in the United States, in this case, equality deepening, not democratic deepening as much.
Well, there may be a whole other discussion to have about how democratic or transparent this bright star of democracy that we live in really is. But maybe we'll leave that because I do want to go to the Middle East. And
okay, I'll just say 30 seconds on the United States. No other long-standing democracy has anything which allows one person to stop a vote in the Senate by a filibuster, and now it doesn't even have to give his name. It can be a silent filibuster. This is incredibly undemocratic.
Well, you're right in my wheelhouse there in the United States Senate. I did want to ask you about that. I didn't want to side. I'm glad you said that. It is fascinating. Now, in a place, however, and I do want to go to the Middle East, like Egypt, and comparing it to Tunisia, two countries. We have to talk about the Arab Spring and the aftermath of the Arab Spring. Two countries there who've reacted differently to their own protests. And we're coming up on a one-year anniversary of Mohamed Morsi in Egypt. There are, again, protests planned there. And I wonder what your, maybe not prognosis, but what your diagnosis of democratic depth in Egypt is right now. And then we'll touch on Tunisia.
I've been to Egypt three times since the Arab Spring, and I've been to Tunisia five times. Right from the very beginning, I said the chances of a democratic transition in Egypt were vastly less, partly because the secularists were much more like Turkey. They were much more interested in blocking any Islamist group than they were in necessarily creating a democracy. But the Democrats, I mean the Muslims who won the majority, they also had a whole series of undemocratic parts in their platform. So both sides had slightly undemocratic elements, so both of them wanted the military to come in on their side. So that's the military last week said this Sunday, if things got out of control, they implied they might reassume power.
Right.
Tunisia had something that's totally different. They've had free and fair elections, which everyone viewed and said were free and fair. I think they'll approve the Constitution, I hope, in December. I feel there'll be free and fair elections after it. And I think that the Islamist Party, the moderate Islamist Party, will not be in head of the coalition, but they will accept being a junior member in the coalition, or I actually believe they would accept being out of power. This would be huge.
Well, as we look at protests around the world from Egypt to Brazil, Tunisia to Turkey, Professor Alfred Stepin says, think about democratic deepening. He is Wallace Sayre Professor of Government, the founding director of the Center for the Study of Democracy, Toleration, and Religion at Columbia University. Professor, thank you.
Thank you. It's been marvelous.